like Oahu Country Club, food's not very good. But Honolulu Country Club, wow, that food is great. So anyway, yes, come one, come all to the banquet there. And Duke Iona will be speaking. I will be speaking. So it should be a good time. Yes. Okay. Well, let's finish up here. When it comes to the moral guideline, we said true tolerance has moral boundaries, right? Has moral boundaries, which we do not cross. Okay. What are those moral boundaries? Okay. And how are they determined? Well, if God exists, then God has given us those boundaries, all right? And the Bible has been confirmed to be the divinely inspired word of God. So there are universal moral absolutes that guide as a compass to determine right and wrong for every culture, okay? And the Bible has demonstrated throughout history it provides the best moral guide and boundaries for every society. Countries that go according to biblical morality thrive. Those that depart from it eventually meet their own demise. Okay? We can see that in Romans chapter 1, right? They turn the truth of God for a lie, okay, and worship the creation rather than the creator. So societies that turn away from God's moral law eventually meet their own demise, okay? Romans chapter 1 gives you a history of that. So as America departs from belief in God and the laws of God, then she can only go down a very dangerous road to her own demise. Empires don't last forever, right? Empires rise, empires fall. And the decline of a civilization is traced out for us very nicely there in Romans chapter 1. So the Bible has shown to be those moral guidelines, those boundaries of what we should tolerate and what we should not tolerate. Okay? All right. Now, by the way, you were sharing with me earlier what's happening in our children's education. You want to share that with the class? I thought it was very good. Yes. Yeah, scary, huh? Yeah. Philosophy to children is a good thing. It's a good thing to teach them basic principles of logic and critical thinking. But if it's not based on a belief in God, who is the source of truth, then you're going to end up going into relativism. Because if truth does not originate with God, it is created then by man, and it's relative, and that's how you end up in there. So philosophy is good, but if you don't have the right worldview, then you're just going to go in the wrong direction. So yes, so they're getting indoctrinated in this stuff from a very young age. So the church has a critical critical role to be able to engage these ideas and present to young people, you know, not only God's truth, but just truth, how to discern truth from error. And unfortunately, we get young people once a week only, all right, sometimes twice a week if you got a good youth program, but you know, the school gets them 5 days a week, so it's an uphill battle for us, but it can be won because truth will always stand, right? Truth, error runs from truth, but truth never runs from the error, okay? So truth, God's truth eventually prevails for those who are honestly seeking and looking for truth, okay? All right, now the last part is this. What's the most quoted verse in the Bible today? It's not John 3:16. It's Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge, lest you be judged. Right? Do not judge, lest you be judged. So was Jesus teaching the new tolerance? Okay? Was Jesus teaching the new tolerance? I was at a church in California, and I was speaking on the... what was I speaking on? I think discerning truth in media. And a lady raised her hand, and I said, yes. And she goes, is homosexuality a sin? And I said, well, according to the Bible. And she goes, judge not lest you be judged. Judge not lest you be judged. All right? And she threw it right at me. And I said, well, okay, I'm not judging. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. Judge not lest you be judged. Judge not lest you be judged. You know, she wouldn't even let me talk. Finally, when we calmed her down, I said, okay, let's take your verse in its proper context. Let's see what Jesus was actually saying here, okay? So this is the most quoted verse in the entire Bible today, all right? It's not John 3:16, it's this one. Was Jesus saying never judge, never say an idea or a lifestyle is wrong? Is that what Jesus was saying? Never judge? No. Jesus actually taught us to judge. Jesus even judged. He constantly told you, you got to judge truth from error, right? Enter. Look at the very next verses. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Is that judging? You bet. He's saying the majority of the people are wrong. They're going to end up separated from God forever. Only a few are going to find the right path. Watch out for false prophets. Is that judging, calling someone a false prophet? You bet. You're saying you're wrong, okay? They come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Is that judging? You bet it is. He's saying these guys are false prophets. What they're teaching is false. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Is that judging? Yeah, you bet it is. Okay, you bet it is. So what did Jesus mean when he said, judge not, lest you be judged? What did he mean? Come on, huh? Take a shot at it. What did Jesus mean? Huh? Don't look at the sins of other people. Oh, okay, but because the context, what does he say in the context of what he's saying? Judge not lest you be judged, for by the same standard you judge others, you too shall be judged. Do not say to your brother, let me take out of the speck out of your eye when you have a 2x4 in yours. First, take out the 2x4 in your own eye. Then you can say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye. Okay, so what was Jesus saying there? He was saying what? Yeah, Jesus was saying, Jesus wasn't saying, don't ever judge. He was always saying, you got to judge between right and wrong all the time. Okay, but what was he saying? He was saying, do not judge hypocritically or by a false standard. Don't point out someone else's sin when you're practicing that same sin as well. First, take care of your sin. Then you can go to your brother and take care of his sin. Okay? Well, I can't go and rebuke my brother for looking at pornography, right, when I'm committing adultery with another woman there. Okay? First, take care of my sin. Get my act together. Then I can go up to my brother and say, hey, you need to work on that pornography issue here. Okay? So that's what Jesus is saying. Do not judge hypocritically or by the false standards of men. First, take that 2x4 out of yours. Okay? Then you can go to your brother and say, let me take that speck out of your eye. Okay? And he says, by the same standard you judge, you too shall be judged. Okay, so what I told the lady was this. I said, this is what Jesus is saying. Okay, he's saying, look at the next verses. He is judging. All right, he tells us to discern truth from error. Okay, so she got a little quiet there. And I said, what Jesus was saying is this. Do not judge hypocritically. Do not say there's a speck in your eye when there's a 2x4 in yours. Deal with your sin first before you go to confront your brother. And Jesus said what? For by the same standard you judge, you too shall be judged. I said, if I'm judging you by what the Bible says, then I put myself under the authority of the Bible as well. So if you see me in a sin that goes against God's word, you have every right to point out that sin according to God's word. I'm using it as a standard to judge you. And so I am placing myself under the authority of the Bible as well. And I told her, I said, I'm perfectly comfortable doing that. Okay? I'm comfortable doing that. All right? So that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus wasn't teaching the new tolerance. Jesus was saying, do not judge hypocritically. Okay? And remember, the standard by which you judge, when you put others under the judgment of God's word, you place yourself under God's word as well, okay? And that's the standard by which you too shall be judged, okay? Jesus spoke out against sinful behavior. Jesus spoke out against false teaching. So he wasn't saying never judge, right? He was just saying don't judge hypocritically or by a false standard. So Jesus wasn't teaching the new tolerance here, okay? All right. Any questions on what we covered tonight? Yes. Yeah. Right, right. You need to be discerning truth from evil, moral from immoral, righteous from unrighteous. So in that sense, you should be judgmental in a good way. You don't want to be judgmental in a bad way, placing yourself superior to others. Okay, that would be a bad kind of judgmental. All right, but in a good way is being discerning of truth and evil, righteous from unrighteous, moral from immoral. We always have to make judgments every day, right? If you're looking at two people who are going to do your taxes, you're judging. You're trying to figure out which one is going to be better than the other, okay? So we make judgments all the time, okay? Which car is the best? Hey, which store to go to is the best? So when it comes to behavior and truth, we also make judgments, okay? We're doing that all the time, all right? So you want to be judgmental in a good way, discerning truth from evil. And since God's Since the Bible is God's word, that's the standard by which we measure truth and moral or immoral behavior. Without that, really, a society really has no guide. Why is homosexuality a sin? Well, you know, you can argue it medically, sociologically, and all that. It's a very, very dangerous lifestyle, and very harmful. But ultimately, you know, what's your standard of righteous right and wrong? Okay. All right. Any other questions on what we covered? We got it. We got the new tolerance. Okay. All right. So some applications here as we close the evening. First, healthy societies must be discerning, able to identify ideas that are true and ideas that are false and dangerous. And this is one of the most dangerous ones that we've seen. Okay, the new tolerance, right? It's a very dangerous one. Remember, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything, all right? And the new tolerance is one of the most dangerous ideas we see that our culture has embraced, all right? Second, we must not embrace the new tolerance, but have the courage to stand up for God's truth and stand against false ideas. All right. One of the good things, although I don't enjoy it, about being on Duke Iona's show, is that all the liberals are listening. Okay. When I'm on KGU, it's mostly Christians who are listening, and that's good. Okay. And that's fun. But 75% of that audience agrees with me. Well, maybe 50% at least. But when I'm on Duke Iona's show, maybe 10% of the audience agrees with me. All right, so I get some really heated phone calls there, okay, on that show. And a lot of times I'm caught off guard and surprised by it, but I really shouldn't be, right? Because if you're going to stand for God's truth in a world that's in rebellion to God, you should expect a lot of flack, okay? Third, we must practice true tolerance, which means we are to be civil to those who disagree with us as we stand for truth and oppose false and dangerous ideas. All right? 1 Peter says what? But set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But everyone forgets the last part of the verse. But do this with gentleness and respect, right? The word respect there is reverence. It's the same word that's used in showing reverence to God. So even though they may be rude and very belligerent to us, we're to counter with gentleness and respect, showing that civility and true tolerance for others, even for those who are belligerent and oppose our ideas. Okay, and, you know, that's a powerful witness when you got someone that's just exploding on you and you're not responding in the same manner. You show that soft, quiet strength that shows you're not rattled by that guy or girl, and you can just return it with civility, with gentleness and respect. That goes a long, long way, okay? So I'm grateful for many of the dialogues I can have with my atheist and Muslim and LGBT friends and others. I enjoy that kind of dialogue. But sometimes, you know, it can get heated, and I got to remember that you need to show civility even in uncivil times. That's what we're called to do as believers in Christ. So when I'm on the Duke Iona show, I got to practice that to the callers. I just can't go off on them on the air like I wanted to do with one guy today. Man, he was, yeah, he came on. He said, I'm a history teacher, and let me tell you something. And he was going off. He goes, and I'm a no, and I'm a history. And I'm like, dude, you got it all wrong, man. And so, you know, he just wouldn't stop. And so gently had to point out to him, you know, where his thinking was in error, and try to be just as gentle and kind as I could with him over there, even though he was getting kind of belligerent over the whole thing. Okay. And finally, remember, the truth will set you free, but truth can often offend, right? Those who stand for truth can expect hostility in a culture living in rebellion to God, right? Jesus was the most loving man. Jesus, every word Jesus said was truth, but he offended those who, you know, were not honestly seeking the truth, but looking to protect their religious empire there. Okay, so truth will set you free, but truth can often offend. That's what happened to Jesus, so we can expect that to happen to us, even though we may say it with gentleness and respect. Expect, you know, a hostile response from a culture that's really gone in rebellion against God. Okay? So, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised up against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Relativism and the new tolerance are two of the most dangerous ideologies that we're seeing dominate our culture. This is some of the ideas that we just have to demolish and destroy, not only to be able to present the gospel, but to actually save a society from its moral decay and its eventual downfall. Okay? All right, any questions on what we covered? Any comments, questions? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you have any thoughts about that, about social media? Yes, it is. one of the things, before social media came on, we had to reply via email. And one of the things we learned... You know, when I was at Probe in Dallas, is that your first draft is not the one you send. You gotta type like to. So the first draft we learned, you type out whatever is on your mind. You know, you idiot, and just get it out of your system. Okay, don't send out. Don't hit send. Be careful. Don't hit send. Okay. Then the second one, when you've got it, yeah. Then when you got it, hopefully out of your system and you're calmer and the Holy Spirit is, you know, in charge once again, then you can start giving a more kinder, gentler, thoughtful response. Okay, and hopefully the second or third one is the one that, you know, you send. And a lot of people, Christian and non-Christian, would always, you know, write comments in response to our response. And would always say, wow, we really appreciate your gentle answer, or, you know, we appreciate your thoughtful response, or we really appreciate that, you know, you stuck to the facts on this and all that. So even the world that's watching, you know, appreciates when someone is giving kind, thoughtful response compared to someone over here that's really just giving all kind of hate speech and all kinds of things like that. Because, for example, you know, in the LGBT debate, you've got three sides, right? You got the LGBT community, and then you've got the Christian community, and then you've got everyone in the middle watching, right? Seeing how these sides respond to one another. And if the Christian side is coming with, you know, gays go to hell, God hates gays, you know, stuff like that. Well, those who are watching are going to be like, we don't want to be around these hateful Christians. Oh, my gosh, look at their stuff. All right, but if the Christians are responding with gentleness and respect, presenting good, well-reasoned arguments and facts. You know, it really goes a long way to those who are watching. So best as you can, try to write out a thoughtful, respectful, intelligent response. And sometimes you just can't help it. People are going to be offended by that. Some people are just going to be offended. But I think most people will appreciate a well-thought-out kind of response that doesn't show all that kind of venom coming out and things like that. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Everything is based on emotions. No matter how much facts you bring up to them, or history for that matter, everything is based on emotions. So it's really fruitless and futile to argue or present anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's my experience.
Yeah.
I've been called a bigot, I've been called a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's too late. I just 3 hours ago, a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I use some other words on that. About a half hour ago, I texted back, hey, I'm sorry about these colorful words.
Yeah.
It's futile.
Yeah.
From what I see, I cannot win an argument with it because they don't see it. And in my opinion, they're blinded by God. They're not going to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you may not convince the person on the opposing side. But remember, you got people in the middle who are watching. And those are the ones that you can win over. So, for example, in a debate, okay, when I was on a debate with a rational response squad, it's a free-for-all debating them. They just cut you off. They call you names. They call you bozo, idiot, stupid, whatever, you know. Well, I'm not going to win the rational response squad to Christ, okay? They're just so hard-hearted and whatever. But I'm not looking to win them to Christ. I don't think I will. Hopefully I will, but I'm convincing everyone who's listening to the debate, and when they're hearing name-calling, just constantly trying to cut you off, not dealing with the facts and calling you bozo and idiot and all, and you're not name-calling them, you're presenting facts. I mean, that does a lot for the people who are listening, you know. And you can see while we're on the radio debate, even the atheists were scolding the rational response squad, saying, let the guy talk. You haven't addressed the issue. You're being rude to that guy. You know, I'm embarrassed as an atheist that you're acting like this toward him. And all that. And so you're actually trying to win them over. So, yeah, you may not convince your opponent, but all those who may be looking at the blog or reading the dialogue, when they see the tone or the way that you're presenting, you can win them over. And hopefully someday as the years go by, maybe you'll actually win your opponent over. I remember one atheist I was talking to, when we were done, he said, you know, I don't agree with you and I don't like your position, but he said, I like you. You know, he said, I'll keep talking to you. And so we've had a dialogue over the years. So hopefully that's, you know, things you can do. But yeah, it's, remember, you've got people listening and they're the ones that you can convince. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Any others? All right. Very good. Let's close our time in prayer. And remember, hey, banquet tomorrow. And whatever else I said. Okay? All right. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for the great exchange of ideas, the desire to learn your word and to demolish the false ideas of the culture that keep our friends and families in bondage. And keep them from hearing the gospel message of Christ. I pray that the skills and the information we attain would equip us to engage our world and our culture for Christ, that we may be more powerful witnesses for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Oh.